I'm Greg Hunter. Welcome to USAWatchdog.com. My next guest came on and talked about statistics that he compiled. He was a money manager at BlackRock. I think he managed $14 billion at one time. He has his own company now, data company. He's a master at crunching numbers. He wrote this book called Cause Unknown. I'm kind of giving it away. It's Ed Dowd. I think we now know. But he came on in a few months ago and said, listen, according to his data and number crunching, we had 30% of the workforce, a little more than 100 million people in that ballpark, 30% were dead, disabled, can't work, or are working chronically ill. And he said, I'll come back on if that trend increases. Well, Ed Dowd is coming back on. Ed Dowd, thanks for joining us today on USAWatchdog.com.
Thanks for having me on, Greg. And I hate to be the prophet of gloom and doom, but the numbers are the numbers at this point. And I've had a thesis that the vaccine is causing these excess deaths, these disabilities, and now we're tracking lost work time and absences in the workforce, both in the U.S. and the United Kingdom. And it's not good. And the trend seems to be reaccelerating. We have some new numbers out of the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. I've talked before about U.S. disability. It took off starting in February of 2021, right around the vaccine rollout, and it increased about 10% into September of 2022, 3.2 million on a base of about 30 million. And that's an alarming number, a quick rise, a three standard deviation rate of change that we saw there. We added 3.2 million people. 1.7 million of those were employed. Well, since September, we've been hovering near the highs. The good news was at the time that the rate of change had slowed, but the trend wasn't going back to normal, which I was monitoring. Well, unfortunately, in the month of May and June, we had some alarming new numbers out of the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. In May, we went to a slight new high, all-time high of disabled in the U.S., and then we broke out in June and added another 857,000 people to the disability survey. So we are around 34.1, 34.2 million disabled Americans. So we added about 1.2 million in the month of May and June. And if you look at the chart, it looks like a breakout, a growth stock that broke out in February of 21, consolidated, and now it's breaking out again. And this is bad news.
You said something in a pre-interview because you have your book here. I joked and said, well, are you going to retitle your book? Now we know. It's an incredible book. And you do what Mark Crispin Miller does, and that is his adage was, I think Stalin said, a million people is a statistic. One person is a tragedy. And what do you do with Cause Unknown? Picture after picture after picture of people, sweet, pretty people, handsome men, pretty girls. Charts and graphs and people that have hold on, we get your book cover off here. And like, for example, right here, for example, all these people, beautiful people, look at this girl right here, beautiful people, beautiful couples, beautiful people, all different colors. So it doesn't make any difference to these monsters, and they're dead, and they died. And your book, is basically is Cause Unknown. But do we now know? Do you have to prove that this is a disaster any longer?
So, if you notice in the book title, we put "cause unknown" in quotes. We were mocking at the time we were writing the book and put it out. There was a lot of news reports of people dying, and they would list it as cause unknown. In fact, Canada started to have a category called cause unknown. So it was kind of a joke to us. So we were mocking the trend at the time, which was to call it cause unknown. The cause is known. It's the vaccine. I'm 150 to 200% convinced. We have some new data coming out of the UK that we dropped a couple weeks ago, and it's really exploded because, as my partner Yuri Nunes said, they can't run from this data. And the data in the UK, let me explain the data real quick. The data in the UK, it's their pension, government pension disability system, and claims come in, and 40% of the claims are usually cleared. They're called clearances, and 60% of the claims are dismissed. That ratio did not change at all throughout the whole pandemic. What did change, there was a little backup in the system. It peaked out at 26 weeks to clear a claim. or not clear a claim in August of 2021. And then in 2022, it got down to 16 weeks, and currently it's running at 14 weeks. So in 2022, the data is pretty clean. You know, there may be some timing issues of what went on in 2021, but we had a breakout event in 2022. And let me just kind of tell you some of our findings. And we've said, look, we're not doctors. This disability system data is so good. It gives you what human body system is affected by the claim and then the cause. You can drill down into the cause within the human body system. Let me just give you the punchline. In 2020, all claims for all body systems went up 3%. In 2021, 20.5%. And in 2022, 76.7% new claims above the four-year trend. These are claims above trend, excess claims, we call them. And some of the categories that went off the charts are hematological, which is blood. It's related to the blood. We had auditory issues up 121% in 22. I mean, the numbers are just all over. It's a disaster. And the standard deviations are what we call black swan event deviations. They run the gamut from 3 to 60 standard deviations across these different human body systems. The one system that seems to be really taking off in 2022 is cancer. Cancer, or what they call oncology, was up 2% in 2020, 6.4% in 2021, and 35% in 2022. So cancer is really starting to come on in 2022. Standard deviations of black swan events. And we put the data out there. You can go into our website at financetechnologies.com, spelled with a PH instead of an F. You go to the UK PIP disability data analysis, and you can. We encourage doctors and scientists to tell us what the hell's going on. Let's assume for a moment we're wrong, which we're not, but let's say we are. The data is so bad, it's either systemic fraud in the UK pension system, which if that's the case, the UK needs to pay us a fee for discovering this fraud. If it's not fraud, which we don't think it is, it needs to be explained. The regulatory bodies in the UK, and I suspect this data would be found in the US if we had access to it, need to explain what the hell's going on, because these numbers are worse than the pandemic by a long shot. Deaths are worse, excess deaths across the globe are worse, disabilities are worse, and now we have some granularity on the disabilities. The human body system seems to be going haywire, and it needs to be explained. At the very least, this needs to be addressed.
When you're looking at this, these numbers, you have now reached the conclusion that this is a vaccine gone wrong. Some people call it a bioweapon. Actually, it's listed as a bioweapon of DOD. Dr. David Martin brought this up in front of the EU Parliament, the whole EU Parliament. Other people like Karen Kingston say, listen, it's in the patents. It's a bioweapon. I mean, basically, we just had Dr. Peter McCullough, cardiologist, come on, looked at all the data and said, this didn't help a single person. And I think the guy Stitchfield said, wait, stop. This didn't help a single. No, it did not. Well, then you look back at last year, Deborah Brooks said, I always knew that these shots wouldn't offer protection against infection. What? You already 676 million injections later, CV19 injections in America alone, $13.3 billion in the world. You knew it wouldn't work. Is this a crime?
Well, look, I wasn't in the room, but at this point it's a crime because it's a cover-up. I said that in my book in December of 2022, that they see the same data that I see, and the data has only gotten worse since then. So it's a crime, and it's a cover-up. So that's all you need to know. Forget about the who and the why, whether it was a bioweapon, it was a mistake. I don't care at this point. This is a joke. They're killing people. They continue to mandate these jabs at some universities. Some employers still mandate them. The UK is requiring all school children who enter the school in the fall to take these shots. This is a joke. This is a crime. It's a cover-up, and it's murder at this point.
Oh, boy. Whew, there's my title. Anyway, let's get it. I want to, because you're at heart, you're a finance guy, not a medical you know, data detective, but, you know, the numbers are so outrageous. I know you were compelled to do this, but what's going to happen with the supply? I just got back from a dealer and I said, how are you doing on getting parts in? He goes, man, it's really hard. It's really, really difficult to get things consistently in. What's going to happen to our world if this trend that you've spotted is now upticked? What's going to happen to our world if this trend of disability and death with these CV19 bioweapon injections continues?
So let's talk about that. So we're, you know, we're Carlos, Yuri, and I are investors. We come from the world of finance. And in the world of finance, you make predictions and you try to project what's going to happen. So right now, as far as I'm concerned, the vaccine is doing damage, great damage. The damage is evident. And so we got what we call the an asymmetric information gap. Most people don't know this. It's word is spreading finally, but most people still don't know this. So most people are clueless as to what's coming economically and financially. Most are clueless. So this is going to be the greatest disaster I've ever seen. And it will become apparent to people. Unfortunately, the way the capital markets work, by the time everyone figures it out, it'll be too late. So what's going to happen and what is happening? Let's start with the Fed, the Federal Reserve. Luke Grauman, a mainstream economist on Twitter, recently said something about the disability data. He said, maybe the unemployment rate that the Fed is keying interest rate hikes off of is wrong because the disability, as people are rolling into disability, it's reducing the labor pool. So the numbers are all messed up and the signal is screwed up. So we really don't have low employment. We just have a smaller workforce that's masking the fact that we are losing people to disability and death. So that's number one. So the Federal Reserve, which controls the interest rate of the globe, is basing their decisions off of the wrong data, and they're screwing up. And it's what we're this is going to be the greatest policy error of all time. They just raised 25 basis points. The money supply continues to tick lower. Economic activity is grinding to a halt, and they should be lowering interest rates, but they're clueless at this point. So that's economic disaster number one. Economic disaster number two, it's already affecting the supply chain. Anecdotally, I knew this was going on last year. My car was in an accident at a stoplight. My radiator was damaged. It was an Audi A6 2011. The damage wasn't that great. The radiator, I needed a radiator fixed, and I couldn't get into a body shop for months because they had labor issues and parts supply issues. When I finally got an appointment, my insurance company came to me and said, look, we're going to junk your car. I said, why would you junk my car? They said, well, it's worth $6 on Blue Book. We'll give you $10. Well, now, these people aren't saints, Greg. So I started asking questions, and I found out there's part shortages across the country to repair cars. So you give me 10, you take, and of course State Farm claimed the car. They probably sold it, and they probably got more than 10 for the parts. Huh. This is a joke. And then I'm hearing anecdotally, a woman that I know, a friend came to Maui this week. She had delays and mechanical issues, and they had to swap out the plane. When I was traveling in the States not that long ago, I was going to Australia. We had to deboard our plane. They claimed originally, before we depart, folks, we get a delay of 25 minutes due to paperwork issues. Well, the paperwork issues turn out to be mechanical issues. They just don't have enough people to service everything. And everything's slowly kind of breaking down. The hospital system's a disaster. We're going to put out a report on the NHS, which is the UK hospital system, which has absence rates and disability rates off the charts. So you're not able to get serviced when you go in there to an emergency room. Here on Maui, I heard a story of a guy went in for an eye problem into the emergency room. 13 hours later, he got seen. Now, you can go from Honolulu to Sydney on a plane, and it takes you 13 hours. That's where we are. You can either go to Sydney, Australia, or get seen by a doctor in an emergency room. So everything is slowly breaking down. It won't be out. You know, you won't hear about this on the news, but you'll see it if you need something done, and you'll experience it. And you're going to be gaslit and told that, oh, it's fine. It's there's nothing. There's no problem here. Don't look over here. Look over here. So we're going to see what I call a glacial Mad Max, and things are going to get harder to do. Goods and services that you take for granted are going to become scarce, and we're going to have I think a deflation in financial assets that'll start soon enough, and inflation in things you need, like food, medical care, other stuff. So this is stagflation disaster with your precious financial assets cratering at some point.
When you say glacial Mad Max, in other words, it's going to move at a glacier pace, but it's still going to be Mad Max at the end.
Yeah, that's, you know, look, I'm under no illusions. And look, I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm dead ass wrong. But unfortunately, you know, I've never seen such a dystopian situation where, you know, so many people are still walking around clueless as to what's going on. I was on with Del Bigtree, and I said to Del, you and I are like characters in a dystopian movie. We're walking the streets in our neighborhoods, meeting people who are just clueless. But those in the know, and people are making plans. People are forming networks. People are forming tribes. It's happening. I've been doing it for well over a year and a half, 2 years. So, you know, don't rely on the government to help you, because when things go south, you're going to need people in your foxhole that you can rely on. And again, does it happen in a year or 5 years? But it's happening, and it's glacial, and you can see it. You can see it.
Your trend with this disability is rising. And so it may not be 5 years. It may,
you know, I'm trying to give a wide prediction here, but I think it's sooner rather than later, because the more people who get disabled, it takes, let's take a typical corporation. You got some dead people, they're small in number, so they leave the workforce, they need to be replaced. You got disabled people who can't work, so that you need to replace them. But it's the people that are chronically ill who are missing work all the time, that puts pressure and burns out the people who have to, you know, pick up the slack for them. And you know, people working at these corporations can see this. And it lowers productivity across the board. And it's coming. It's probably coming faster than I think. And then once we have these disabled people, if you're a family member, if your husband gets disabled and can't work, all of a sudden, and you're working, then you have to take time off from work to care for him or take him to doctor's appointments. So it just reverberates. It's a daisy chain effect throughout the system. And then once this problem is identified, we have to divert precious resources to taking care of all these sick people. And that's a big drain on our economy. Rather than building bridges and spaceships and whatever else that's more productive, We're going to be taking care of the sick and the injured. That's not a growth. It'll become a growth industry, but it's not a productive industry. Nothing comes out of that that's going to add to our economy.
Yeah, ivermectin. You know, they lied to us on the way in. They lied. Oh, it's a horse paste. Oh, it's didn't work for COVID. Now we find out not only does it work for COVID, people like Dr. Pierre Corey say it's my baseline drug for a vax injury because it binds to spike proteins and removes them, does all kinds of other great stuff as well. I mean, the downside is some loose stool, but the other bad effects are improved kidney function, fights cancer, binds to spike proteins. I mean, it's fantastic. What do you think about this? They're still suppressing ivermectin. You still can't get a doctor to write a prescription for it. It should be cheap and plentiful. A lot of people should be taking it, according to doctors like Pierre Corey, also natokinase, which dissolves spike proteins. But no, it's nothing's happening. What do you think about, you could be doing a lot of good for people if they could just take ivermectin, but they're not doing it for them. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, obviously for them to start pushing ivermectin would then expose, what do you mean? You call it horse paste. So they're going to, criminals and people in cover-up mode continue as if everything's fine until they're caught. That's what happened at Enron. I mean, Enron was fraud, and the stock was, you know, down 60% from the highs. And I was talking to people that were still buying the stock because, you know, they were big investors that had access to the CEO, and the CEO was whispering sweet nothings in their ears, and they bought the BS. Whereas I'm the type of person that when things start to go south, I don't even want to talk to the CEO. You know, I'm very intuitive, and I know how this game works, and the bond spread started blowing out. So I protected my firm from it at Independence Investments, and we got out of it. So this is the same thing. Criminals are going to act as if everything's fine, and they're not going to ever admit that ivermectin is worth anything to anybody, because to do so would, start to unravel their whole thread of lies. So they're going to continue going forward as if you know, everything that's said is fine. And I personally have an 8-ball. I call it an 8-ball. I don't take cocaine, but this is like pharmaceutical grade ivermectin. I've never been vaccinated. I take a little dose a couple times a week.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people, they don't, you know, they wouldn't. I was talking to Dr. Pierre Corey about this because I don't do any doctoring. I know you're not a doctor, but I said, I don't do any doctoring, but you take this a couple times a week. I mean, this is what you use for treat vax injury patients. It's yes, and a lot of people don't realize they're vax injured. They're tired all the time. That's a tip off. You get really exhausted doing simple things, and you have brain fog. Ever since the shot, brain fog. I don't know if you watch people driving, but holy cow, it's like a segment out of Animal Farm. It's crazy. People driving across lanes, and they look at you like, "Oh, I just had to make this turn. Like it's okay, right?" But that's some of the telltale signs. And you must be seeing this. This disability, and one of them is brain fog. You must be seeing this in the general population. Accident rates, and maybe you can confirm this from friends of mine that sell insurance, they're way up. They're up 25-30%. Is that what you're finding in your data? Accidents,
well,
car accidents?
We haven't looked at that data per se, but I've seen other people's work, and it anecdotally, it makes sense. I mean, we've had a couple accidents here on the island of Maui that made no sense. There was one gentleman who at 8 a.m. on a Tuesday, obviously going to work, not on a bender drinking, and it was a divided two-lane highway. He went across the median and slammed into a semi-tractor trailer, dead instantly. I suspect he had cardiac failure and just slammed into this truck. And there's all sorts of traffic accidents going on. The numbers, if you were to check the, that's why automobile insurance prices are skyrocketing because of that. So, again, I haven't done the work, but I'm hearing that that's true. In regards to brain fog, I've talked to an osteopath who's treated a lot of vaccine injured. And one of the things about the vaccine injured he's noticed is cognitive decline has occurred, which is brain fog. And most of the time, these people aren't even aware that it's happened. That's the sad thing. Most of these people aren't even aware of their decline.
Yeah. That's, yeah, that's sad. That's really sad. And so would you be a buyer? What are you telling me? You're doing a finance website, a data website. Would you be a buyer of gold? Is that good in inflation and deflation? Is gold good when things fall apart? Silver, Bitcoin, farmland, apartments? I don't know. What would you be a buyer of?
Well, usually in a financial panic, which I think one is coming where the stock market finally, I mean, we had the stock market hit a high in January of 2022, lost 20%. We've had what's called this monster counter trend rally where, you know, everybody says everything's fine, but all we've done is bid up five stocks in the S&P 500. Tech is at all time high valuations and earnings are going lower and the underlying fundamentals of the economy are imploding. So eventually the stock market's going to snip this out and crater. You know, if it does turn into a financial panic, that's a deleveraging event, and gold and everything will take a hit. But long term, gold is fine, silver's fine long term. But you know, if you're a buy and hold person, don't worry about it. But if you're speculating and you think gold's going to go up when everything goes down, I've had experience with that during the financial crisis. Gold went down 50% because during a financial panic and deleveraging, people sell what they can, not what they want. And so everything kind of gets sold, but you know, I'm not. I like cash. I like 3-month T-bills to hide until this clears, and then you can go in and buy your favorite stuff. Buy more gold. Buy your favorite companies down 50, 60, 70%, and get back in the markets. I just think being in the markets right now is a fool's game, given what's coming.
I want to talk to you about this. I know you've heard about it, so I want to get your take on it. I just had Jim Rickards on. He's a 7-time best-selling author. He says, yeah, I don't know if this is going to happen overnight, but it's going to happen. They're going to peg this. He thinks, he said, don't know exactly what the BRICS currency, B-R-I-C-S, Brazil, India, Russia, China, and South Africa. But he says the new currency, let's just call it a BRIC. They're going to tie it to a weight of gold. You're not going to be redeemable in gold. And that's going to be a headache for the dollar. What do you think about this idea that, well, the dollar could collapse all of a sudden? Do you think that's going to happen? Do you think the BRICS currency is going to be successful? What's your take on the whole currency, dollar, BRICS, the whole deal?
Well, I think it's more posturing than it is. And don't get me wrong. The world reserve currency status of the dollar has never been under greater threat of problems than it is today. And what that means is the countries understand what the dollar does. When the dollar is inflating, it's good for them. When the dollar's deflating, it chokes off their economic growth. And they're addicted to the dollar. A lot of their debt is dollar denominated. So to immediately go off the dollar system is kind of a joke. It's going to take a lot of time, because money is debt. Debt is money. So that debt is out there. The money's been created. So it's not going to disappear. So that's why I'm always of the opinion the dollar, if it fails, it fails up. It gets so strong that it starts causing financial havoc in other countries, and there's a revolt. So the dollar, I think, fails up, and then there's a new system, and I don't know when that is, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. And mind you, the military-industrial complex is not going to let the world reserve currency status go gently into the night. Wars will be fought over this. So I think a lot of this BRICS stuff is posturing. There's a lot of these people don't trust each other anyways. They're not. You know, they don't like us, but they don't like each other as well. There's, you know, lots of talk that India may not do this. It's a lot of chatter, but the difference this time is it's chatter out in the open. This chatter has always been behind closed doors. Now they're mocking the dollar reserve system out in the open, and that's because we have basically an imposter in the White House, and our leadership is weak.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, they're making up new. Three more new charges on Trump. Now it's 40. That's going to do it. 40. And they're cutting charges for Sam Bankman. What is it? Bankman Fine. Sam, you know, what's his name from FTX, who apparently looked like he was money laundering money we were giving Ukraine, and Ukraine was shipping it back to FTX, and then he was giving it to Democrats. Oh, well, I digress. But that charges for him are being dropped. They're inflating new charges on Trump. And this just looks, do people think, is the rest of the world watching this and going, oh, come on, banana republic?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So I put out a tweet yesterday. I noticed two things. The FTX charges were dropped in regards to campaign finance fraud against Sam. And then Hunter, the fiasco in the courtroom where basically they were trying to get immunity for all future charges and hide it from the judge. And so basically I said, these two things occurring at the same time should even make the most feeble-minded amongst us understand that the justice system is designed to protect the looting operations of the Uniparty that have been going on for 40 plus years. This is a joke. Everybody in D.C. is literally stealing your taxpayer dollars, and they do it through a variety of different scams, and it's been going on for a long time, and the deep state protects this looting operation. They're all in on it. I'm at the point now where, you know, supporting insiders who've been there more than 5 years, I think the system just eventually corrupts you. So I just don't trust anybody unless they're an outsider. At this point,
you know, you had the Project Veritas, and I brought this up in my newscast. I said, this is why you don't want people taking bribes from foreign countries like China. And you've had two different under oath testimonies from IRS officials. These are people with the numbers in the background. This isn't like just me saying, I think Joe Biden was taking bribes. No, these are the people that watch it on a screen, and you watch the SWIFT system. You know, we have this kind of underpinning of fraud, and everybody is acting like what fraud? No, we need to get Donald Trump, which is kind of weird. I think he messed up on the vaccine. I think he should come out and say it's a disaster. But so this is going to affect our money, is it not?
Oh, this has been theft for years, and eventually it's going to create a crisis of confidence in the U.S. We need to clean this up. I mean, the 20-year war in Afghanistan, that was a bonanza for contractors and kickbacks. And what the hell were we doing there for 20 years? I think one part of the scam was protecting the poppy fields for the CIA black book operations. You know, I'm an analyst. I just look at numbers. Prior to our involvement in Afghanistan, the world share of Afghanistan for poppy production used in heroin was 15%. Once we got in there, it became 90% of the world share. What happened? Gee, I wonder.
Talking about this this currency being losing a status of world reserve currency, I talked to she's the only one ever agree with me. I said I think they're going to protect the dollar. I've been hearing this one and done, and we're going to cut rates and whatever. But I think they're going to be forced to protect the dollar ultimately. Or am I wrong in terms of the rate increases? They keep raising them. I know they're saying they're data dependent, and your data says, wow, we should be cutting rates. But aren't they also there's an idea here that they have to protect the U.S. dollar as the world reserve currency?
Well, I'm not in the room, but let's think about one of the look. The dollar is a weapon in our foreign policy operations. If you wanted to create global instability and cause economic havoc around the globe, you crank up interest rates after a 14-year zero interest rate regime, knowing full well that it's going to cause banking systems and currency issues in other countries that have dollar-denominated debt. And then you just wait and weather the storm. And then you go, and then after those economies collapse, you go in on the cheap and buy up all their assets. I'm not saying that's what they're doing, but the dollar is a weapon. It just is.
Wow. Let me ask you this way then. In your estimation, are they going to start cutting rates and happy days are here again and drive the stock market up even higher? Are they going to start cutting rates anytime soon in your estimation?
Oh, I think they're going to have to, but people have to understand something. There's three things. Tim Wood, my friend at cyclesman.com, has discovered something very interesting. In every financial crisis we've had, three things happen to really cement the financial crisis. You get commodities peaking, stocks peaking, and interest rates peaking and then going down. So if you remember in the 1999, 2000, 2001 recession, the Fed started cutting rates in 2000. Then the stock market went down 50% from there. In the Great Financial Crisis, they started cutting in 07 and the market went down 50%. Once they start cutting in this crisis, it'll be the signal that, oh my Lord, things are so bad the Fed has to cut. And it's not gonna pump up the stock market. Stock markets get pumped up by Fed cuts or easy money during bull markets. We're not in a bull market at the moment. So if the Fed starts to cut, that'll mean the economic situation's so bad that they have to. But I do think if I'm not in the room, if they are using the dollar as a weapon, they'll try to keep interest rates as high and long as possible.
And then Seymour Hersh is out, and I just got it. It's a today story. And I got it because this is on Saturday night, but he's out. You know, Seymour Hersh said, you know, it was the U.S. that blew up the Nord Stream pipeline. Okay. Everybody said Russia did it. Then they had this dam blow up and Russia blew up their own dam. And then he's out again, Seymour Hersh, who's a fantastic award-winning journalist. I'm telling you, he's Seymour Hersh. He's not a liar. And he says, U.S. was behind both Crimea bridge attacks, says Seymour Hersh. I'm saying all that to say this. Aren't we flirting with some kind of wider war? I mean, are you worried? Does this keep you up at night? Oh, my gosh, we're sending F-16s that are capable of dropping tactical nukes to Ukraine. Does this keep you up at night? Is this part of your investment thesis?
Yeah, war is inflationary, and war helps the credit system. The credit system needs constant growth. The COVID war that they launched saved what was in 2019, we were starting to have an economic slowdown, which probably would have led to a financial collapse. And COVID, thankfully, came along for the banking system. And I say that kind of tongue-in-cheek. Thankfully, came along for them, and they were able to reinflate the system and issue more debt than we've ever seen before and print more money. 2 years later, 3 years later, we're now deflating again, and the credit system needs another injection of new debt creation. So how do you do that? War's good at that. The problem with war is it kills lots of people, destroys infrastructure. We do know that Warren Buffett is worried about Taiwan because he sold his Taiwan semiconductor stock in Q1 of this year. And he stated as the reason for his sale, war as a possibility. So, you know, I think Warren Buffett might have some more information that I don't have. And so he's thinking war in China with Taiwan. We know the Ukraine war could escalate and drag in everybody else. We also know that there's all this nonsense, and I call it nonsense. All of a sudden, UFO disclosure is coming out. Wouldn't it be great to, like, unite the world in a giant scare that we have to spend boatloads of money to protect us from the alien threat? That would be the the biggest government spending bonanza that could take the system for another ride for a couple of years and inflate us again. So I always think of things in terms of the debt and how to keep the system and kick the can down the road. So I think war is on the table. I'm worried about war with China, not initially with China, but China takes over Taiwan, and then it begins, and an escalation in the Ukraine. I mean, war is classically a way to reinflate the global economy, and we've done it many times. We really didn't come out of the Great Depression until World War II. That reinflated everything.
Your book is just a masterpiece. If you look at it, you could have written it this week and said the same thing. Although they stopped saying this cause unknown thing, they quit because it was so. Yeah, I think you ridiculed them into stopping it. One of the things that you highlighted in your book, of course, if you look in these are all dead people. These are all beautiful, pretty children, black, white, female, just all pretty dead people that died. But here's one of the things you highlighted in your book, and it's this girl right here. And what are you talking about? Blood clots after the Pfizer shot. And what do we have this past week? People with blood clots, we have, and people with heart conditions that just happened this last week. At what point do you think this will get so big that there'll be a critical mass of knowledge? And this helped kick that critical mass of knowledge down the road. At what point do you think we'll get that?
Well, it's been a team effort by the good doctors on the front line, lots of people. It's not just me, so I'm not going to take credit. But I will say that I'm a student of capital markets and how things. I've fascinated with being early to a thesis, then watching how the marginal investors comes on board to my thesis, and it takes time. And then there's a tipping point. What I'm happy to say is that we monitor our own website traffic at Finance Technologies. And I put out a chart today on Twitter showing that we finally had 1 million views. 330,000 of those views have come in the last month since the UK disability report. So we're hitting an inflection point where word of mouth is spreading. And, I think, and my book has gone through a couple of waves. I had a big wave into the Tucker interview in February, then sales slowed down. Then they picked up again when Bobby Kennedy went on Joe Rogan and mentioned my book, and my sales are now picking up again. My publisher wants to make another push. So I think my book, unfortunately, it will be a million unit seller at some point, but by that time it's too late. A lot of people will have suffered. I do think, and I'm not near a million, don't get me wrong, but I think eventually it becomes that kind of a seller. And that's the way information spreads. By the time everybody figures it out, it's over and you missed the boat.
Do you, one of the data points Cliff High said, he was estimating that, because I asked, when's it going to be the peak death? And you brought this up too. He says, well, deaths are important. This is one of your first interviews. I think your first interview says, but the disability is an exponent of that. Yeah. And I talked to Cliff High. He says, well, people don't die and get sick. People get sick and die. So what you're going to get is a disability spike. And he says, my data is saying it's mid-2024. Do you think we'll get a peak? Of course, it won't just peak and fall off. It'll peak and then come down. Do you think we get a spike sometime in mid-2024? Also, Cliff High says that that's when there'll be a not a majority, but it'll be a critical mass of people that say, okay, the shots are killing us and disabling us. Tell me about what you think about when this disability happens, if it happens in 2024 or 2025, which just handicap it, if you will.
Well, look, I might agree with Cliff, because what we do know is this, is that morbidity leads mortality, and morbidity is disability getting sick. So we had a big spike into disability in September 2022, and now we have another spike taking off in June of 2023. Let's say it's 6 to 12 months delay, where some of those people will, start dying. And because their disabilities seem to be, accelerating at the same time, we could expect a wave beginning end of this year into 2024. As more morbidity, meaning illness, leads mortality. So people are now accelerating in their sickness and disability, and then deaths will come. And that's sad and tragic, but I don't think Cliff is too far off, honestly.
Wow. He thought that the death would be happen after the peak in disabilities is coming. You see the trend increasing, though. You clearly look at this and go, "Whoo, this is increasing. It's not decreasing. This isn't going to stop anytime
Look,
soon."
look. The U.S. disability data, the BLS, Bureau of Labor Statistics, is real time. It doesn't get into granular stuff like what's the cause, it's a survey, and it's directionally correct, and it's statistically imputed. So the signal we saw beginning in February 2021 was real, peaked out in September 22, kind of went sideways, and then it just broke out the last 2 months. A strong signal. A million point one or two individuals in the last 2 months. That is huge. So that's indicating to me that unfortunately, whatever's going on is inflecting again. Do I have definitive data? No, but I'm on the watch for it. So whatever's going on is reaccelerating.
Short of a nuclear exchange, I say, and I've said this before because the numbers are so, it's 676 million injections in America, 13.3 billion injections globally. Short of a thermonuclear exchange, this is the biggest disaster in history, period, the end. And yet Congress says nothing. Of course, they gave themselves an exemption. So the FDA, the post office, the CDC, they gave themselves an exemption. They're just acting like we don't have an unfolding disaster. Does that scare you?
Yeah, the silence is deafening. That's why this data we put out on the UK disability system deserves an answer. Their silence will tell you all you need to know, because it's either systemic fraud, and they should cut us a check for $5 million consulting fee for discovering this fraud and saving them billions, or it's not, and they're covering it up, or they're dumb, and they have billion-dollar budgets, and they can't figure this out on their own. They're either dumb, covering it up, or they're systemic fraud, and either way, this is going to become too big to hide. Congress needs to act. These people in the GOP are forming all these committees on January 6th and all these other things. Great. Good on you. How about the COVID vaccine committee? Call me up. I'll share my numbers.
Disaster. Unbelievable. Just unmitigated. The world's never seen this before. The world's never
Look,
seen this before.
no, look, this to me is unprecedented. It's the greatest fraud I've ever seen in my life. I know how frauds work. I was on Wall Street. I know the psychology of the fraud men. I know what they do. I know the psychology of people who believe the fraud. And I've seen this happen with the COVID vaccines. The true believers defending all the way down, and it's a disaster. And I think we won't be talking about this for the next 10 years. We'll be ne talking about this for the next two centuries. Okay? This is going to impact everybody throughout the globe for years to come.
Your book, let me hold it up here. I mean, it's fantastic, and it's also sad because just about every person you see, here's just another page. You have picture and picture and picture and picture and picture after every. And I can only show you a little bit. I don't know. It's a couple of hundred. Gosh, it's packed with sources and everything else. It's an unbelievable. It's almost 200 pages long with everything. It is cause unknown, although thank you for explaining that. That's tongue in cheek. We know what the cause is. It's the vaccine. It's all going to be on the after the interview section. Cause unknown. It's a big book. It's lots of photos, charts, graphs, stories. Cause unknown. Plus, you support the people who support the telling the truth, and that's Mr. Ed Dowd right here. Smile. Hi, I'm a truth teller. Good. Okay, so I am just having fun. Although it's not very funny, it would be funnier if it wasn't so awful and true. But the thing is that the cover up is worse than the is well, the crime's pretty bad, but the cover up is almost getting cartoonish at this point.
Correct. It's a cartoon. This comedians should be having a field day with this. This is the stuff of comedians. They don't even need to talk about the vaccine. They just need to mock the excuses that are coming out, global warming, and of course this is normal. It's normal for young people to drop dead. Yada yada. Comedians could have a field day with this. One thing about the book I'd like to say is that this book, if you're a red meat crowd person and you already know all this, don't buy the book for yourself. Give it to someone who doesn't know. I've been told that one of the islands on Hawaii, my book is making its way through the local government, and it's getting some play, and there might be some action taken eventually from my book in a local government. So this is great news. This has become like a Paul Revere pamphlet that wakes people up.
Finance Technologies, I'll put the website up. I do it every time. I'm going to put your buying page up, cause unknown to this, unless you want me just to go to your website. But it's just fabulous work, and you're way out in front on it. And it could have been written this week. You prove your point beyond any reasonable doubt. We know this is a disaster. We know what the cause is. And thank you for sticking your neck out. One last thing. And I want to ask, because I talked to Steve Kirsch about this. Woo! He's taking some real crap from people. Anybody that does this, Elizabeth Eves, Dr. Pierre Corey, people like, Sherry Tenpenny, Ryan Cole, all taking major crap for exposing this. Are you taking crap from your former Wall Street friends that, hey, how dare you talk ill about our bioweapon kill shot?
Yeah, well, look, Wall Street's interesting. My LinkedIn page is blown off the hook from large investor firms. They're curious about me. They're not calling me up yelling at me. They're either buying my book, viewing our website, and they're making their own. But what they're not doing is they're not being vocal about it. They're being cowards and trying to figure it out on their own. But no one on Wall Street, we're not a big bunch of happy people loving each other. Everybody on Wall Street is kind of a competitor against everybody else. So to the extent that have I had blowback from Wall Street? No. Have I had blowback personally from people that used to be my friends? Sure. I don't have a doctor's license to take or a attorney's license to take. So there's really nothing that happens to me other than people verbally assaulting me in my comments on social media, which I ignore and couldn't care less.
One of the things I wanted to say, this is stuck out in your last interview and stuck with me because one of the things that stuck with me, and you were the first to point, I says, remember, this was in early 2022, I think. And you said, remember back when the people were saying that they should stick the vaxxed in a compound and that they should deny medical care? You're not hearing that anymore. That was more than a year ago. Do you think that they're quietly getting the message, oh, my gosh, we screwed up? I mean, Jim Robbins came out and said, not a good idea. The creator of Dilbert, not a good idea. You should hear Jimmy Dore. Holy cow. Not a Democrat anymore. I love him. Anyway, incidentally, he's totally flipped on. He says, well, you're not going to get your freedom by voting Democrat. He's a huge Democrat. At this point right now, do you think that there is an underpinning of people that know this is a screw up, but they don't want to face it?
Yeah, it's called the four stages of grief, right? Denial, anger, depression, acceptance. Some people are along, like Jimmy Dore is in acceptance and he figured this out early. I love him. He's a smart guy.
Yes.
You know, as time rolls on, these labels of Democrat and Republican are ridiculous. It's about, humanity and truth telling. You know, you and Jimmy Dore could sit down and have a blast and have a great time together because we accept reality. People on both sides of the aisle are living in la la land at this point. And I do think there's a lot of people who know, who are quiet, and they're struggling internally with what to do. A lot of people have egos that will never allow them to admit anything. But there's a lot of people like Tim Robbins, Jimmy Dore came out. Once he figured out what went on, he pulled a 180 so quick it made my head spin.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And I love that guy. He's funny. Funny. He makes me laugh.
Yes. I say funny. He's funny in a good way. I'm not mocking him. I think.
Exactly.
Holy cow! I wouldn't want to be on the accepting line of him giving you grief because, he's funny and he makes people look well what they are, and sometimes he makes them look pretty stupid. I think what he does is he just brings out the fact they're stupid. He doesn't make them. They make themselves look stupid. But anyway, Ed Dowd, this will be in after the interview section, Cause Unknown, to buy the book to support you and support you. You're one of the people that came out, and you didn't have to be a doctor to do something, which is great. You didn't have to come out and say, well, I'm not a doctor, so I can't say anything. Nope, you came out in your own way and crushed the numbers, and the numbers have been, are, and will be devastating. Ed Dowd, thanks for joining us today on USAWatchdog.com.
Thanks, Greg. Great to be here and look forward to our next conversation.